Our Bible reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 2.
Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20, and this is the New International Version. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, can't imagine that they just said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, only one, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told, what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. God bring great blessing to this reading.
Amen. Let's pray. God of grace and wonder, we offer these gifts in response to your call. As Mary responded with faith, we too say, "Here we are, let it be to us." Use these offerings to further your kingdom on earth. Empower us to be bearers of Christ's presence, bringers of hope and love and peace to our community. May our giving reflect the promise of Emmanuel, God with us, and bring light and joy and peace in this Advent season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A bit of a response would be helpful, otherwise it will not work as well. All right. So I'm wondering if anyone would like to share, what's the thing that you hate most about Christmas? Cooking? An ending, yep.
Commercialism,
yeah. Anyone else? Anyone else hate anything about Christmas? Oh, yeah, expectations. Yep. Yeah. Anyone hate the heat?
Oh, yeah.
Never. Bill's told me a couple times this Advent season, this glorious, hot, dry weather, perfect for harvesting the wheat. Yep. All right, what's the thing you love most about Christmas?
The eating.
Christmas pudding and custard, yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah. The lights. Yep. The Christmas coma, yep. Yep. Yeah. Leftovers, yep. Yep. As a minister's child, the thing I loved most about Christmas was when Mum and Dad locked the doors on Sunday morning after the Christmas service, because that meant we had Mum and Dad to ourselves. That's what I liked most, and Christmas. And these days, I think it's the same for our kids. They like that idea of Christmas is over, it's done. And at our house, we moved from, a few years ago, we moved from doing a big lunch to doing our big Christmas meal at dinner time, so that we weren't so rushed of an afternoon. Yeah. Well, when we're surrounded by the busyness of Christmas, the parties, the shopping, the people, the car park, what? It doesn't matter if it's Saturday, Sunday, like the last few weeks, and the car parks have been crazy. The cars in the car parks, the food and the spending, it's easy to forget that there's still Christmas without all those things. Even if you don't put up a tree, even if you mess up the dessert, even if you are sadly at home alone on Christmas Day, it's still Christmas. The significance of the Christmas story is that the story is the story that Jesus came to us as a baby for us to change everything. This is where we find the essence, the truth, and the reality of Christmas. This is where we find the hope and the praise and the joy of Christmas. It's the coming of the baby. The baby who would become a man, who died on the cross to save us. The one who came to give us hope and joy of eternal life. The one who came so that we might have life in this world without fear. There's a story told about a lady who was reading a story for her grandchild who loved books. Her grandchild was 5, and every night he insisted on being read a story by his chosen adult. At one stage, Tim's favourite book was a numbers book, one where you had to count from 1 to 100. You know the sort of books we're talking about? 1 hippopotamus, 2 lions, 4 meerkats, and so on and so on. Occasionally, the grandmother would try and get away with skipping a few pages to speed things up a little. Has anyone ever done that? You know, 1 hippopotamus, 14 crocodiles, 400 somethings. Some of you can guess what happened, because for this little boy, the same thing, the grandmother, the same thing happened to her that happens to us as well. Whenever the grandmother tried to skip a page, the little boy noticed and would tell her to go back. He would say, "No, Grandma, you missed number 4. You missed number 5. And so she would have to go back and read the pages she missed. Now, every now and again, this grandmother would try to skip a few pages in one big hit, but she would never get away with it. "No, Grandma, we've missed too many pages." Reflecting on this, his grandma said, "There's no point trying to skip the pages, because you would have to be brought back to the reality of this very thick, hard-covered book." See, when we read the Christmas story, it's more than a child's number of books. It's more than make-believe. It's a real story, a story with power, a story that changes everything. And we need to make sure that we don't miss or skip the pages of the story. We need to make sure we don't miss any elements of the story. So far over these past few weeks, we've had the angel visiting Zechariah in the temple. We've had the angel appearing to Mary. We've had an angel appear in a dream to Joseph. And we're now at the point of the story where we hear about the shepherds and the angel appearing to them. So this morning we're going to have a little bit of a closer look at this story. And we're going to pay attention to these shepherds and see what the Lord might want to teach us today. So our scripture reading this morning began at verse 8. There were shepherds living out in the field nearby, watching over their flocks at night. Shepherds were at work. When the angels appeared to them, the shepherds were at work. The scripture says they were out in the fields. It's kind of interesting to think about that when we look back in as to that in a little bit more detail. They were out in the fields. Most of the time, the shepherds would have been out on the hillside with the sheep. And there was only one time of the year where they would actually come into the fields. And that was after the harvest. The Jewish tradition required that the corners of the field be left for the poor to help themselves to that portion of the harvest. And after all of this had happened, the sheep would be allowed to come and walk through the paddocks, the fields, and feed themselves on whatever was left in the field. At the same time as they were eating the leftovers of the field, sheep were doing what sheep do, and they were fertilizing the ground as well, which allowed for the springtime planting that would follow. It was highly organized and was done according to Jewish tradition and teaching. So the shepherds were there together protecting the sheep in the field at night. I wonder if you have been out into the country at night and had the opportunity to look up at the dark sky, one that's not polluted with light pollution. I know some of you might have grown up in the country and have that mental picture of how dark the sky is and how bright the stars can actually be. I always remember visiting my grandma on her farm in Bundaberg. And when me and Jodie first got engaged, I was living at Bundaberg at the time. And that was one of Jodie's first trips out to the countryside. And she'd often comment about how different the sky looked in the country, how bright the stars looked, and how pitch black it was at the same time. So there are the shepherds out in the night. They're sitting together, minding their sheep. Perhaps they were chatting about what life means to each of them. Perhaps they were talking about some of the sheep that were giving them trouble. Perhaps they were eyeing off what they might have for dinner. Who knows? But imagine it. You're sitting in the dark, and there's an unbelievable light that shines all around you from a heavenly being. You've got no idea what this is because you've never seen one of these before. You haven't heard about the previous angel appearances in the local newspaper or on social media. And there the angel is. And the angel says, "Fear not." And naturally, what does the scripture say? They were terrified. Not mildly frightened, they were terrified. And then the angel is joined by a heavenly host. I suspect the nature of their terror probably increased significantly at that point. But what is amazing here is that the shepherds heard the message that was there for them to hear. They knew about the prophecies, for they were Jewish. They knew about the Messiah that had been prophesied. And when the angel said to them that the Messiah had come, they believed it. Not only did they believe it, but they left to go and see. They believed enough for their curiosity to kick in. And they went as fast as they could to find out what was going on. In verse 15 and 16 it says, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see what has happened.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby." They hurried off. They were curious. They were eager to explore the things that the Lord was doing. I wonder if we're curious enough to see the things that the Lord is doing. I wonder if we're curious enough to taste and see and understand more of God. Let's be like shepherds. Let's go and check it out. Let's go and read the scriptures, not just because we're supposed to, but read them with the intent of finding out more about God, our Heavenly Father. And once we've read the scriptures and learnt and seen, let's go back again with the same curiosity. I heard a story recently about a young woman who grew up in Iraq. She was so dissatisfied with the religion that she'd grown up with, she felt there must be something more. Then she visited her mum, who was here in Australia. Her mum had become a Christian. She told her daughter all about God, the God who was full of love. Her mum said that she was part of a church where everything and everyone was focused on loving and caring for others. The young woman said, "I need to find out more." Like the shepherd, she said, "Let us go and see." So she began to read the Bible. She began searching. And now she has a beautiful relationship with Jesus. Even if we've been Christians for a long time, let's never lose our curiosity. Let's be curious like the shepherds. One of the reasons I like to decorate at Christmas and Easter is because it is the same story over and over again. It's a story we're all too used to hearing. But for me personally, as I decorate and put thought into that, it allows me to reconnect with that story again. It allows me to find newness in that story. And as I read over material, whether it's been prepared for us or whether it's stuff I put together myself, without fail, every time something new is revealed to me about the Christmas or the Easter story. It's a living word of God. Even if being Christians for a long time, let's never lose that curiosity. Let's find something new. Let's go and see what God has in store for us. The next thing we see in the shepherds is they recognize the goodness and the greatness of God. In verse 20 it says, "The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard." Having seen, they praised and glorified God, telling everyone along the way what they had just seen and heard. They were reinforced, they were reinvigorated, they were re-encouraged. And as that happened, they took time to marvel at God's greatness. When we see God's greatness and goodness at work in our lives, we often burst out in worship, praising God for what He has done. We tell others about what He has done. When we have an answer to prayer, the challenge for us is to stop long enough to soak it in. It's so easy to move from one thing to the next thing, but we need to pause and worship Him. We need to acknowledge His goodness and His greatness. We need to meditate on His goodness, but we also need to tell others. Like the shepherds, they went to see and then they told others what they had seen. The other thing about these shepherds is they experienced the extraordinary in the ordinary. Having seen what they saw, what did the shepherds do? They were terrified. Having seen Jesus, Having fulfilled what the angels told them, they went back to the sheep. They went back to the ordinary. But on the way back to their sheep, they continued to praise and glorify God and told everyone they'd seen what had happened. This challenges me about the ordinariness of my life. Life has some extraordinary moments. But on the whole, life is made up of the ordinary. And we as God's children need to be aware of Him even in the ordinary. We need to find Him in the everyday, normal moments of life. We need to live with God in the normal, ordinary moments of life. And we need to allow Him to live with us in the ordinary. And when those sacred, high, extraordinary moments come, we can enjoy them. We can allow them to encourage our faith. But then we need to take those moments back to the ordinary so that the ordinary becomes extraordinary. One of the things that the Salvation Army does for our young people is they put on these points that they call high points. Those moments where kids can go out of the ordinary into the extraordinary. Things like the camps that they go on. They call those the high points. And one of the challenges we always have, particularly when you get kids that aren't connected with church, is how do you continue to nurture and mentor those kids who have come from this high point back into the ordinary? We must choose to live in the present. And living in the present means that God is part of our life every day. We must commit the ordinary to God and allow Him to influence it, direct it, and give us confidence and strength. We must allow ourselves to walk in the presence of God with an awareness of the fact that we don't walk alone. And so when we sit in those demanding places of the ordinary, we know that God is right there with us. We may feel lonely at times. That's a human feeling. That's natural. But we're never alone. Even when life is at its toughest, we are never alone. When life is full of joy and happiness, we are never alone. When our budget won't balance, when our health is not what we want it to be, when age seems to catch up with us, when youth has its limitations, when life seems to be very ordinary, our Almighty God is still God, and He is with us. If you're not aware of His presence, perhaps you need to sit still for a moment and reconnect. Live out the ordinary in the presence of God and be like shepherds. Know that God, our Heavenly Father, is always with us and we are never alone. And while we may not see the heavenly hosts, they are still there watching over us. So let's go see what God has prepared for us this Advent season. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you walk with us, that we are never alone. Thank you that you want to be here with us and that we choose to live in your presence every day. Even though we might sometimes feel lonely, feel bored in the ordinary, or stressed through the busy times in life, may we remember that you are there encouraging us through it all. Help us to be aware of your presence in all moments of life. And just like the shepherds, be with us as we go and see what you have prepared for us. And as we go and see and return, help us to give you all praise and glory and tell others about the good news of Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. And be people of peace. Let peace live in your heart and share the peace of Christ with all you meet. Share peace by acting out compassion and not fear. Share peace by listening to all sides of the story. There's a tough one. Share peace by praying for our world. In this Advent season, we need to see, feel, and share peace. As you go out into the wonder of God's creation, share peace and hope with all you meet. Amen and amen.